Romans 5 and verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." John 5 and verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." I'm seeking to tell my testimony in a simple way just for a few minutes this evening. We have to start with the Word of God. Both of my parents were saved at early age, long before I was on the scene, and they themselves were born into Christian families, so I have the heritage of salvation to look back on and in my family history, for which I'm very grateful. That is not what saved me, but it definitely had an effect upon me at a young age. So my parents had a reverence for the Word of God, and they believed it to be true, and they had an appreciation for it, and they sought to pass these traits along to their children as well. The importance they placed on the truth of the Word of God was evidenced in the ways in which we as children were surrounded by the Bible and the meetings of the assembly to which we attended. At every time that they could, they would place us in front of the Word of God, whether it was in children's meetings, through gospel meetings such as we're having here, Sunday school, meetings in tents, special series, or simply reading the scriptures as a family around the table at mealtimes. As a result of this environment of the Word of God constantly being brought to my attention and being brought in front of me from memorizing of verses and reading the scriptures at an early age, I realized that the truth of the Word of God could be trusted, it could be relied on, and I believed that the Bible was the Word of God. And I'll just pause here and ask you, do you have this same appreciation for this book? Do you believe that this book, the Bible, is the Word of God, that it speaks to us, that it is a living book, and it speaks God's truth to us? I hope that you do. Some of the truths that I learned from this book stood me in good stead when it came to Salvation's Day. And whether it was through the teaching of my parents, whether it was through reading the scriptures myself, through Sunday school, gospel meetings, what have you, I learned these truths from the Word of God, and they're very relevant to the gospel. I believed that I was a sinner, and as a result of being a sinner, there was a righteous penalty on account of my sin that was demanded by a holy God. I knew that from the Word of God. I knew that I deserved that punishment, not only punishment for my sins, perhaps consequences of those sins here in this life, but an eternity in hell, ultimately, as a result of breaking God's laws. I believe, too, that God is love. We sang about that this evening, that God is love, and he's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any would go to that awful place. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that. But that God has demonstrated his love by sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear the punishment that I deserved on account of my sin. And God has showed, this is something else I learned from the Word of God, God has showed his satisfaction in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ there on the cross 2,000 years ago. He demonstrated his satisfaction by raising his Son from the dead. However, despite knowing all these truths about the Word of God and knowing about the gospel message and that Jesus Christ and his coming into this world, this knowledge alone did not save me. Despite believing what the Word of God had to say and believing that it is the Word of God was not enough. I knew these things from a young age, and I knew that being saved, being rescued from the penalty of my sins forever, was of utmost importance. And yet, knowing this and knowing the urgency of such a message, I delayed. I put it off. I did not make it a priority. This was in large part due to the fact that I thought I could get saved whenever I felt like it. I thought that I had enough knowledge, I had enough background, I knew enough of the Bible, the scriptures, that I would be able to get saved just whenever I felt like it. If you're in that position here this evening, please don't stay there. I made a grave mistake, and to gamble with your eternal soul is not wise. The peril of losing your soul is an eternal tragedy. For many of my growing up years, like I said before, my parents would bring me to every meeting that they could, put the Word of God in front of me, and there was a series of meetings in the place that they went in the year 2000. Two invited speakers, Robert McElwain and Frank Sona, perhaps known to some here. Both of them were multiple times in my parents' home for a meal, and I conversed with them, and they knew that I was interested in being saved. And eventually, Brother Frank decided that he would take me out for coffee, for tea, and just a snack, and talk to me about my soul. And I had an inkling that this is what he was going to do, and I didn't want to go along, but I was introverted and shy and didn't want to say no. So I went along with him anyway, and I knew I dreaded the conversation. And we sat in his car and we ate some sweets, and then he asked me, he pointed to this first verse that we read, Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. And he had me read it for him. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then he asked me to put my name into this verse wherever I thought I saw myself, to point out where did I see myself in this verse. And if you're looking at it in front of you, it says, for when we, and I said, well, that's me, I'm right there. And then at the end of the verse, it says that Christ died for the ungodly. And I thought, well, I know from the scripture I'm a sinner, so ungodly fits me as well. And then he graciously pointed me to the center of that verse, and it says, without strength. And he highlighted for me and put his finger upon a thought that I'd never had before. And he said, are you without strength? And he left the conversation there and we drove home. But he sort of planted the kernel of a seed there that would later germinate in my life. And for the first time, I realized the scripture has described me as without strength. And I would know the truth of that later on. 2 years later, there was another series of meetings. Two other brethren came along, Dan Schutt and Gary Sharp, and they were speaking. And I was troubled about my soul, and I was concerned with the preaching of the gospel. I knew I needed to get this matter settled. And perhaps for the first time, I was making this a priority. I wanted to get God's salvation. And night after night passed, and I was concerned, and I was interested in knowing my sins forgiven, and peace with God, and still nothing. And I tried seriously to get saved. I tried every way I knew how. I tried to believe the right things and believe the right way and muster up my own efforts. And as I found out very quickly, nothing seemed to work. Nothing worked. The truth of that verse, without strength, was coming back to me. And I was beginning to realize that in my pride and foolishness, I thought I could get saved whenever I wanted to. And I was realizing how foolish that was. The utter failure of my efforts in trying to get saved my own way, ultimately, led me to just give up. And I decided, with dread, that I would have to go to hell. I knew that was the judgment of God against sin. And I had come to the end of myself, and I realized, this prospect terrifies me, and yet I see no alternative. This acceptance of this awful conclusion came as a result of this series of meetings coming to their conclusion. The final Friday of that series, it ended on the Friday, I walked into that meeting overwhelmed with gloom and despair and concern. And the two brethren were speaking. The one who opened up gave an example from his life about a time he was trying to help a young girl who was struggling with salvation. And what he did is he sat down with her and he made an object lesson for her. He said, pretend that I'm the Lord Jesus. And he took his Bible and he said, pretend that this is your sin. And he passed the Bible to her and he said, where is your sin now? And she said, well, it's on me. And he said, pass me the Bible. He says, where is your sin now? Well, it's on you. And through that brief and simple illustration, he showed to her that her sin and the penalty that it deserved cannot possibly be both on the Lord Jesus and on her at the same time. And this registered in my mind. As I was thinking of this truth, I knew this truth from the scriptures, but yet it came home to me that night in a new way. The second brother got up to speak, and he read the second verse that we read together, John chapter 5 and verse 24. So as I was thinking about this anecdote that was given, then the second brother got up and spoke from this verse. It says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And my mind was taken up with that verse, just mulling it over. I don't remember anything else that brother said, but I just thought about this verse over and over again. The reality, my sin and its punishment, cannot both be on me and on the Lord Jesus at the same time. I knew from the scriptures he had died. He had borne the punishment that was for me, that was on account of my sin. I knew that. If I believed the Bible, why couldn't I rest in that? The reality of the verse gripped me. He that believeth hath everlasting life. Present possession they have for themselves, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. There was the secret. And this truth was revealed to me in a moment right there. I had known for so long that the Lord Jesus was dying there at the cross for my sins, that it meant that he took the judgment that was mine, that I should have borne myself, but that I couldn't be condemned as well as him. And he had taken that for me. And in a moment of time, I realized that he was there for me personally. The scripture promises, and it's a promise to me, but it's also a promise to you. This is assurance for me. In the end of this verse, he that hath everlasting life shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That is the assurance that I have from the Word of God. But it can be yours as well, that you can pass from death unto life. The punishment that sin is weighing upon you, perhaps, that you're burdened with, that you're concerned about. And perhaps your sin doesn't bother you, but I pray that it would. That punishment does not have to be yours. There was another who took your place, and he suffered in your place and mine. All of that effort, the struggle, the frustration that came as a result of me trying to save myself, that ended in utter failure. It was only when I gave up using my own strength, figured out that I was without strength, believed God when he told me that from his word, then God displayed his strength and saved me by his grace. And I'm so thankful for that. I knew instantly that this is what had happened. And the immediate realization sort of washed over me. And the first realization was of peace. I have absolute peace. All that struggling, the confusion, the trying, the without strength, it was all past. The Lord Jesus Christ had done it all, and I simply rested in him. We pray the same thing for you, that you could be as well, passed from death unto life. This is the power of the cross. He alone is able to do this. Sin can be wiped away, and you can pass from death unto life even this evening.